Upheaval, Chapter 60, Finishing Blows. A burst of light coursed through Rarity and surged out of her horn. Her mage blades erupted into great, jagged spires of crystalline magic, raw, scintillating charts that frightened even her. She touched them tentatively with her telekinesis, afraid that they might turn on her or their sheer size would once again expose how weak her magic was. They cut through the abyss as if she were wielding the same small blades she found in Hammer Chain's smithy. She had to smile. They looked a little crude, resembling the broken shards of a gigantic mirror, more than any properly forged blade, but they had their own primal beauty. She felt a small urge to look at Lioncourt at the moment, to silently ask him if this was the sort of greatness he was looking for. But this wasn't about him and his approval. This was about the power she had forged with her friend's help. This was about ending this long, arduous fight. Princess Platinum's horrid screeching put an end to that moment of admiration. Rarity faced the whirling storm of broken jewelry and crystallization clouds with renewed confidence. Twilight's boost left her positively humming with strength. More than that, the destruction of Clover the Clever banished the panic brought on by all the chaos. They could do this. She could see Platinum clearly despite the entire flashy spectacle. Two of her blades swept forward, cutting through the foul magic with ease and grace. Platinum screamed again, a piercing wail much louder than her previous ones. Rarity knew where the difference lay. This wasn't fury or annoyance. It was pain. The clouds dispersed and the jewels floated aside, revealing the wretched princess. Rarity's blades had severed both of Platinum's forelegs and cut deep into her chest. The spectral limbs dissipated just as Clover's remains did. Fragments of jewelry fell from Platinum and floated away. Rarity wrinkled her nose at the dried up, decayed remains that could no longer hide behind the vanity. The second pair of blades lashed out in a cross pattern. Rarity was tired of fighting this affront to all ponies. A finishing blow was needed, but she wasn't sure if chopping this ghost in half or removing its head would do the job. Doing both would be the safer choice. Platinum had no defense against the blades. Indeed, now that the panic was gone, it was clear that Platinum just didn't have any defense. The ghostly princess had relied entirely on a constant barrage of attacks and distracting wails to hide her inability to protect herself. The first crystal blade cut neatly through her throat, severing it with ease. The second one shredded the jewelry still clinging to her body, tore through the decadent cloak and split her perfectly in the middle. There was no final wail, no grand farewell from Princess Platinum, only a faint, frustrated moan that passed away into nothing. Rarity was a bit insulted. Even a false princess should have something remotely dignified for the final blow. She was about to check on the others when a very loud splintering sound brought her attention back to her weapons. One of the crystals sported a huge crack. The single fissure opened up and sent a network of smaller lines spreading all over the beautiful magical construct. More cracks followed along the rest of the weapons. Rarity winced and looked away. The sound of the final shatter, however, was drowned out by a sudden shooting pain in her heart. With a gasp, she clutched at her chest and fell to her knees.
That's a little unexpected.
Rarity struggled to get up. It seemed that this wasn't going to be a trick she could show off at parties. Despite the crippling pain that felt as if she had broken a rib or two, she wanted to fight on. They took down one, but greatness demanded that she did more than take out the ghost she was matched against. She lifted her blades. They still weighed the same, but they had reverted back to their original form. A closer inspection brought out a future problem to deal with. Hammer Chain's blades themselves had cracked. It wasn't as severe as the ones that the medical extensions had shown, but she doubted that these weapons would survive another harrowing battle. She tried to take another step forward, but her forelegs failed her. Before she could fall, a red-garbed shoulder, lion cords, moved beneath her in support.
"That was very impressive, my dear Rarity," Lion Cord said. "More than enough to fill us all with hope."
His smile, often so reserved and meant to be charming, broadened into a grin. There was no doubt about it now. He did have fangs.
"Certainly, more than enough to warrant this gamble, among other things."
"We have work to do," Rarity hissed.
She pushed him away and forced her legs to straighten. The effort worsened the pain in her chest. She gasped and breathed heavily. Her blades trembled when she sheathed them. Lioncourt looked even worse. His own blades were already sheathed. For all his calm and confident words, he looked a complete mess. His magnificent namesake mane and beard were disheveled and bloody. His coat was barely more than a rag stubbornly clinging to him. And the blood. The scrapes looked particularly exaggerated on Lioncourt. From his earlier comments, it was almost as if he wanted them there. Thick rivulets ran down his chest and forelegs. His beard was matted with the disgusting liquid.
"An admirable stance," he said. "But you should trust your friends, as Twilight Sparkle just trusted you. Take a look."
Rarity took her eyes off the damaged blades and put those concerns aside. She looked towards the next flash of light, knowing that Twilight and the others must be working together to defeat the remaining ghosts. Confusion took hold when several flashes of light appeared from different directions. For once, it was a welcome sort of confusion.
"Charge!"
That was the entire message Rainbow Dash got from Twilight when that stream of colorful lights flowed towards her. Twilight never uttered a word, but that knowing, trusting look was enough. This wasn't the first time Rainbow encountered this situation. Here she was again, facing some monstrous thing, a mass of angry wolven, a lone giant wolven, a rampaging alicorn, a race against a damaged pony. Now the ghost of one of the most evil Pegasi ever. Time and again, Rainbow teetered on that decision to fly headlong into danger or to fall back. Results had been mixed. She'd been shot in the flank for it and nearly gotten a friend killed. But it had also been important in defeating one of their most powerful foes. Charge. It sounded so simple. A quick shift in her weight, a slight adjustment of her wings, and she would be off at blazing speeds. There was nothing simple, however, about what she was going to charge into. Commander Hurricane may look like he had already been torn apart before the battle even began, but his swings were only becoming faster and more accurate. Rainbow was covered in jagged cuts, each one a stinging reminder of one close call after another. She couldn't remember how many times she had nearly lost her head to a broken sword, or a wing, or a leg. He stared at her now, seemingly aware of what her next move was going to be. Broken swords and spearheads moved about in his body. They looked like hideous parasites tunneling under his skin as they turned to face her. At this rate, by the time she charged, he would be a one-pony spear and sword wall. Behind Commander Hurricane, Sablesteel was hovering valiantly, throwing darts and making quick swoops to distract the ghost. She had paid a big price for having to deal with Hurricane by herself. Half her mask had been torn off and blood was dripping down the half that was barely hanging onto her face. The rest of her body was covered in cuts as well. More power swelled from within Rainbow, all but begging her to make the move. It wasn't just Twilight urging her on. This strange power was more than just Twilight's magic. It felt as if she had all her friends cheering her on. The element of loyalty, she was sure that was what was keeping her in fighting form despite all the exertion, pumped through her veins and surged through her wings. She smiled and lowered her head.
One charge coming right up.
The world turned into a black blur as Rainbow picked up speed. She wasn't screaming this time. She didn't need to drown out her fear. She had this. She had the element of loyalty within, her friends all around her, and one ugly ghost to take care of. Commander Hurricane reared up and let out one more neigh. A dozen swords burst from his ravaged body and flew at his attacker. They didn't even come close. Rainbow struck his chest and plowed through his spectral form as if it wasn't there. The light coursing through her burned a hole through Hurricane that did not seal up like the others. It didn't seem much, especially given the extent of all of Hurricane's wounds. One more hole in his hide amounted next to nothing. Rainbow slowed down, hovered back, and watched her work with a grin. A slow, howling sound flowed through the abyss, like the building rush of an oncoming storm. Sablesteel had wisely backed off from Hurricane. Then, as suddenly as a flash of lightning, a massive spiral of rainbow colors shot through the same trail Rainbow made. Hurricane didn't cry out. There wasn't any time. The light tore him in half and absorbed the pieces in its wake. It roared past Rainbow and disappeared into the vastness. Sablesteel stared at the empty space where their enemy was a moment ago. Afterwards, she looked to Rainbow and gave a curt nod before winging her way towards the others. Rainbow didn't recover as easily. It took a while to even realize that her jaw was hanging open. She knew she was going to come up with something awesome, but that was... there were no words. She barely saw the attack. Something struck, and then it was gone with their enemy. Their enemy was... Rainbow wanted to raise her hoofs and let out a triumphant yell. She had just done it. Thanks to the boost her friends gave her, she had just destroyed the ghost of Commander Hurricane. No pony had to lose an eye this time. But her forelegs felt like lead when she tried to move them. A second later, her wings were feeling the same. They didn't burn from the strain, they just became so heavy that they refused to do as she wanted them.
What?
Rainbow fell on her tail. All of a sudden, she was tired. So tired. All the fatigue she had somehow avoided throughout this fight seemed to have doubled and caught up with her.
Rainbow Dash! Sablesteel called out. Are you hurt?
Rainbow opened her mouth to make a flippant denial, but even her voice felt too heavy to use. She forced her lips into a smile and nodded. Sablesteel didn't look like she bought it, but made no attempt to check up on her.
Guess that's how Sawn teamwork goes, she thought.
Rainbow struggled to her hoofs. It felt like she was moving underwater while wrapped in chains.
Come on.
Longstride put a shoulder under Rainbow and helped her up.
What the?
Rainbow's eyes widened.
I don't need your...
If that's true, then push me away.
Longstride said. He put her on his back and flew towards Twilight.
Good work, Rainbow Dash, he muttered. Equestria's fate looks a little less doomed.
With the tide of battle quickly turning, Twilight finally afforded herself some time to survey everything. The sled she wielded felt as if it both welled up from within and washed upon her from her friends. When she willed it to go to them, it did so instantly. The results were beyond amazing. Where there was once confusion and panic in dealing with the six companions, there was now a rising sense of triumph. She watched joyously as Rarity's gigantic blades cut down Platinum and Rainbow Dash's diving strike tore through Hurricane. Nearby, another golden flash from Applejack's shield engulfed the pathetic remains of Pudding Head, searing away the foulness. Their enemies were down to three, and they were only growing stronger. The giant crystal blades shattered when Rarity suddenly stumbled and winced. Twilight hesitated. Was that normal fatigue? Did Rarity's injuries catch up with her? She was bleeding from a lot of cuts, but Rarity wasn't holding her wounds. She was clutching at her chest. This newfound power came at a price. Twilight snorted. Of course it did. everything always did. When Rainbow Dash had to be carried by Longstride, it was more than obvious that Twilight had to rely on all of her friends to finish off the remaining companions. That left, Twilight froze. Fluttershy, the bearer of the element of kindness, did not look the part. Her ruined eye was open, but no green iris stared out of that socket. Instead, a midnight blue void, almost indistinguishable from the abyss all around them, poured rivulets of something that was slowly covering her body. When Fluttershy exhaled, great clouds of vapor escaped her mouth. Her mane, while still pink and solid close to the roots, was on the verge of turning into midnight blue vapor. This couldn't be right. Twilight guessed that this newfound power enhanced the elements of harmony within her friends. What would happen if she wilted into Fluttershy? Was that terrifying apparition her friend was turning into a manifestation of kindness? The obvious answer was no. That was some kind of Wendigo hybrid, the result of Fluttershy's star power gone out of control. What was that name Fluttershy used? Lock Horus? The elements of harmony and the power of one of Oceanus's prime servants could not be further apart. But the obvious answer did not seem the right one either. Twilight had felt Fluttershy's call as well when she was trapped in that ice. She felt the element of kindness right now. There had to be another way to look at this. Underneath that horrific form, it was still Fluttershy. That form emerged precisely to help break the ice and fight back as best she could. The hesitation melted away. The gentle Fluttershy would not have dared to take on this monstrous power for any small reason. To have had the fortitude to face the power of Abyss. Twilight willed the light towards Fluttershy just as she willed it towards Pinkie Pie. Outward appearances be damned, her friends trusted her and she was going to do the same. She willed the power to flow. Fluttershy wanted to shake her hooves as if doing so could clean the filth of the abyss from the power she had at her command. This wasn't what she wanted, but it was what she expected. She was filthy, still covered in the power of Abyss. This wasn't going to put these upstarts in their place. In fact, it would make them think that they were on the right path. Something else radiated from her. That thing which kept her in control, even with this outpouring of the disgusting, tainted version of the power of water. The element of kindness flowed through her. It burned like acid and her ruined eye felt as if some pony had shoved burning coals into her skull. But the pain felt good. Its presence was purifying and sustaining. It wasn't enough to return the power of water to what it once was, but it still made her far superior to this filth-slinging ghosts. With Twilight free, she was ready to attack Pansy. A flood of power suddenly struck Fluttershy and the burning sensation within her erupted into a full-blown inner inferno. She screamed and clutched her sides before furiously looking towards the source.
"I'm so sorry, Fluttershy,"
Twilight Sparkle called out.
"I am going to break her soul and eat it."
Fluttershy grit her teeth and fought through the pain. No, she didn't really want to break Twilight's soul and eat it. That was Lock Horace's rage boiling over. But what did Twilight do to her? It was bad enough that... Wait, it had to be the element of kindness. The pain was worse because the purification had strengthened. She looked to her hoofs. The power of Abyss was not as bad as it was just a few moments ago. Now, if she could just concentrate through this horrendous agony, she might accomplish something. She exhaled slowly, once again calling up the vaporous presence of the power of water. The cloud looked purer now, more distinct from the blackness around them. She looked towards Pansy. Two streams of crystal clear water flowed towards Pansy from different directions. When her many pseudopods touched them, she recoiled in agony with that part of her body smoking. They created a globe of water around her, entrapping her completely. Fluttershy let herself smile. Yes, that was closer to the power of water.
It still wasn't perfect, still not worthy of Oceanus, but it was much better now. She brought her front hooves together and willed the globe to start crushing. Pansy's form boiled and shifted in a panic, turning into a ball of rising tentacles, to a mass of ropey muscle, to a glob of tiny mouths in some futile attempt to break free. Fluttershy would have laughed if she wasn't hurting all over. This ghost was no match for her. The globe shrank and shrank until it was a mere drop in the abyss. Then the drop dissipated along with her foe. Fluttershy smiled and watched the water dance around her hoofs.
"Purify," she whispered.
Yes, this was definitely much better. She just needed... The blackness began to creep back in. Fluttershy frowned as the power of water was, once more, its disgusting version.
"Just like mold," she muttered. "You don't burn it outright. It comes back as bad as before."
She looked to Twilight. The boost was impressive, but more was still needed from the element of kindness. If she could just bring out a little more, the power of water would be free. Then even the power of Abyss began to recede from her. Frowning, she tried to force it to stay. She still needed the power of Loch Horus. It couldn't disappear now. The power didn't heed her and dissipated. The return of her normal form was followed by a wave of weakness that left her barely able to move. Koskaria was right, but not as she thought she was. One day Oceanus was going to take his rightful place.
"We're winning!"
Pinky cried out as two blades whistled past her.
"We're finally winning!"
She had no idea what had changed and she didn't care. Twilight was back with more than just shields and fire. Whatever Twilight brought back from her trip inside that chunk of ice, it sent Pinky's spirit soaring high above this blackness and despair. She galloped towards Smart Cookie, merrily skipping past a dozen blades and darts. Smart Cookie let out a deafening buzz, like a spinning saw trying to cut through steel. She didn't mind. So the ghost was getting angry. It was surprising that this machine could even feel anything at all.
"Pinkie Pie!"
Pinkie Pie nearly paused when she heard her name come not from Longstride, but from Sablesteel. She also nearly lost her head to another saw.
"Huh?"
she thought. She didn't slow down or veer away from Smart Cookie.
"You better have something to throw at it, Pinkie Pie!"
Sablesteel shouted.
"I would, if you stop interrupting!"
Pinky yelled back. She stopped upside down over Smart Cookie, the ghost's back just above or below her head. She spotted the flow of ley energy again. This time she just found a pool of it.
"I knew it!"
she cried out triumphantly. For all her posturing about finding and exploiting new ways for Earth ponies to grow in power, Smart Cookie ended up being eerily close to her brother's discovery. The ghostly machinery had a really, really crude network of ley lines from the abyss-infused metal. Smart Cookie probably thought that it was a neat little thing she added to herself that would bring out Oceanus's power. Rock Maven would have laughed, or he would have gotten really mad. Pinky plunged her hoof into the pooling spot and worked all the stuff she learned and just instinctively knew into it. She really had something now. First, she had to open up all this armor so Longstride and Sablesteel could find more to hit than plates. She found the joints and attachments and pulled at them. Large plates of ghostly metal fell from Smart Cookie. To Pinky's surprise, so did a lot of those nasty blade and darkspooing gadgets. The metal buzz grew louder and more frantic.
"Oh yeah!"
Pinky said with a grin.
"She didn't like that!"
"Good work!"
Sablesteel said. Pinky beamed inside. It meant surprisingly much to her to hear that from a pony who hadn't believed in her before.
"Now stand back while we chop this ghost up."
"I'm not done yet,"
Pinky yelled. Underneath the machinery, there was only a dried up corpse. Pinky had expected that after seeing what platinum was under the jewelry. She now had some ley energy to work with now that she freed the stuff up from the ghostly armor. And if that wasn't enough, she spotted even more.
Traces of bright colors floated in the wake of that enormous rock Prince Tirado hurled. She drew those in as well, turning all the scraps into a glowing ball of earthen energy.
Check this out, Sable. I told you I can get stronger.
Sable Steel actually smiled, a smile that could be seen with her mask in such disrepair.
Don't get friendly with the names, Pinkie Pie, she said. It's Sable Steel to you.
Pinkie Pie nearly threw her hoofs in the air to let out a loud whoop, but she remembered that she was holding a dangerous ball of lay energy at the last second.
Okay, celebrating comes later. Now what am I supposed to do with this ball?
She thought. The answer seemed simple enough. Throw it at Smart Cookie and watch it blow up. That was what Twilight would do. With her machinery falling apart, there wasn't really much left of Smart Cookie anyway. A quick look around also revealed a more elating sight. The other ghosts were nowhere to be seen. This was the last one, and she got to put the finishing touches. She had lifted the ball above her head for an overhead throw when she paused. Something wasn't right. This wasn't a fireball. Maybe throwing it would only give Smart Cookie some extra power to use, like passing a ball instead of hitting some pony on the head. And should she really be using channeling like this?
Pinkie Pie!
That was Sable Steel again. Pinkie was beginning to notice an impatient streak in that Pegasus. Or was it just worry? Smart Cookie didn't have anything to throw at her, but the ghost was still advancing. It looked like Sable finally got tired of waiting. She swooped in and struck. Smart Cookie made no sound, not when half her face was already missing. Sable's cuts ran down the ghost's torso, leaving a glowing trail of venom that nearly split Smart Cookie in half. Pinkie was tempted to let Sable finish Smart Cookie off. She had certainly done her part. It wasn't like Sable was going to yell at her or try to kill her when she managed to shred Smart Cookie's armor, like she was opening a can of sliced peaches. But the lay energy was still at her hoofs. Rock Maven could not have wanted it to come to this. Not after what she read about him in Canterlot. Gaining the means to fight back against the magic of Platinum's slavers had only been the first part of it. Rock Maven wanted more from Earth Ponies, not just another way to toss fireballs like an angry unicorn. He wanted... An idea came to mind. Pinkie pressed on the ball from all sides, making it smaller and more compact. She had a better idea than just destruction. Sable Steel may not agree. All her friends may not agree after having to fight so desperately against these ghosts. But she thought it would be a better end. A better use of Earth Pony power. Instead of a fearsome ball that streaked towards its target, Pinkie Pie let out a small, brightly glowing point of lay energy. It floated gently towards Smart Cookie like a stray cinder, alighting with all the fury of flower petal. The ghost didn't even notice it in the wake of Sable Steel's fierce attacks and did not even react when the lay energy landed. The effect, however, was nothing subdued. The bright and shifting colors settled on one hue, light green. The point attached itself to the remains of Smart Cookie's dried up shoulder and sprouted numerous small tendrils. While Smart Cookie still hadn't noticed, Sable Steel did. She flew backwards and observed, her blades going into her foreleg devices. The tendrils spread rapidly. Small leaves emerged, followed by pink flowers. Wherever they touched, the repulsive ghostly remains turned into solid, warm flesh. By the time Smart Cookie turned her remaining eye towards the spot, half her body was covered. The flora had moved over half her body. The others had noticed as well, and they stared hard in wonder. The foliage fell away from the restored body and moved on to the desiccated parts. For a while, they were looking at an actual pony. The ghostly form had even shrunk. Smart Cookie's eyes widened as she examined her body. She let out a gasp and then looked to Pinkie, who would have said something if she could get her jaw to stop hanging open. Was she going for this? She was going for something more constructive, but restoring Rock Maven's sister was... Smart Cookie brushed a foreleg against her chest and let out a scream.
the scream of a living pony.
Flesh! Filthy, weak, impure flesh! What have you done to me? All my work and research! But...
Pinky trotted towards Smart Cookie.
This foul magic!
Smart Cookie tore at her coat with her hooves as if she could just rip her flesh away and go back to her ghostly form.
Wait!
Pinky called out.
Don't do that! Your brother he...
And Smart Cookie did succeed in a way. The flesh around her chest crumbled away like dry earth. Upon seeing this, a maniacal grin split her lips and she gouged even harder. The blackness of the abyss seeped into the wounds.
Yes, yes, deep father, cleanse me of this filthy magic.
No, stop!
Pinky tried to stop the process, but she had taken all the available lay energy. Smart Cookie opened her forelegs wide, as if she could hug the entire abyss. The blackness entered the torn parts of her body.
Deep father, I... Wait, what's...
The words turned into a long, agonized scream. The abyss tossed through Smart Cookie as if she were made of paper. Pinky slowed, then stopped. Ghost or pony, Smart Cookie was gone. She looked at her hoofs and tried to get a feel of the abyss. This place was too strong and she was too inexperienced with channeling. But for a moment, and with Twilight's help, she was able to do something that Rock Maven had tried so hard to accomplish. She just needed more time and more help. If she could get other True Earth ponies to work on this, she might come up with something better than all their angry channeling. She just needed to tell them about what she learned. And then silence finally filled the abyss. For nearly half a minute, all of them just stood there. Panting, sweating, looking around. Twilight Sparkle watched as the last of the glimmer around her faded away. The quiet was so complete that it was frightening. Had they actually done it? She couldn't stop looking around. She must have gone in a circle several times already. She was still expecting an ambush. She looked to the Thorns. They would know. The Thorns looked weary and spent. For all their elite training and experience, they were in just as bad or even worse shape. Octavia had stopped playing. Indeed, she had stopped moving. She hugged her cello close and sat so completely still that she looked dead. It took a few more tense seconds of observing to notice the gentle movement from the sides of her torso. She was alive. Barely. Lioncourt limped towards her and offered a red-stained handkerchief for all the blood. There wasn't a single scratch on Octavia. None of the ghosts had come after her directly. But she looked as if she had lost more blood than any of them. Crimson drops trickled from her head and down her neck. Droplets floated all around her like a swarm of red flies. There was no way Lioncourt's handkerchief could even remotely clean her up. But he offered it with a confident smile. Twilight had to drag herself towards them. She was completely drained, probably even more than her fight with Nightmare Moon. The others looked the same. They limped and crawled their way towards her, blood trailing behind some of them. Twilight let out a long exhale and tried to control her breathing. She needed to push out just a bit more magical strength for a few healing spells just to keep Rarity and Rainbow Dash from bleeding out. She should also tend to the Thorns, but first things had to be first.
The fight is over, she said to Lioncourt once she was close enough. Take us to Black Rose.
Lioncourt's smile widened.
No need to intimidate, he said. That has always been the plan.
As they gathered into their respective groups, Twilight let out another exhale. It hardly helped. They should be celebrating a victory against the very worst of pony kind. She had unlocked some kind of power within, but they were completely spent and Black Rose still waited. The others looked like they were thinking the same thing.
I understand the worry, Black Rose said to them. None of us are in any shape to provide a suitable final battle.
Just like Black Rose planned?
Twilight asked through grit teeth. She was already weaving together the last bits of strength to close her friend's wounds.
a fight with Black Rose seemed both inevitable and hopeless. As she was now, Black Rose would crush her like a bug even without the power of sunlight.
In all honesty, no,
Lioncourt said. The smile was gone. For the first time since Twilight met this annoyingly confident stallion, he finally stopped smiling. That was little victory and an ominous warning all rolled into one.
We were supposed to rescue the prince. That was the other half of the reason why we faced the six companions. It appears that he has rescued himself with only a small distraction on our part.
That's good for us, then, Applejack said. The prince is gonna kick Black Rose's behind.
Is it? Lioncourt asked. Do you think volcanoes distinguish friends from their foes, my dear Applejack? And the mistress has been fond of describing him as volcanic.
He's a pony, not a volcano, Twilight said. He may be awful most of the time, but we can trust him. What exactly are you worried about, Lioncourt?
I'm worried that the semblance between brothers is stronger than the mistress is willing to acknowledge, Lioncourt said. His Highness has always been the chink in Black Rose's armor. In her eyes, he can do no wrong, even when he's killing her.
The group started walking once healing spells had been cast. Twilight didn't answer. Any chink in Black Rose's armor should be a good thing. But as the chill of the abyss had turned into a steadily worsening heat, she couldn't bring herself to gain confidence about it. There were two distant figures ahead of them. Those had to be Black Rose and Prince Tirado. It was so close now. A drop of sweat fell from her brow. The others were sweating as well.
Lioncourt, Octavia said.
The bloody, haughty mask had finally crumbled. She trembled with each step. Her legs looked watery and she seemed to be fighting to keep from fainting. Her eyes were liquid with concern when she spoke.
Are you sure the mistress would be fine?
Both Longstride and Sablesteel threw sharp glares at Octavia, but Lioncourt merely smiled and nodded.
My dear Octavia, and that's a part of what makes a gamble fun, isn't it?
Octavia looked towards Longstride, the concern only growing.
What do you see? She asked.
Longstride focused ahead for a moment, then shook his head.
You'll see.
Wee, finally caught up with that story. Chapter 60, yeah. Now just waiting for new chapters for this one. Okay, what do I have to say about this? There isn't really much to say, really, except that the thing with the power of water was a really interesting part. I'd like to see more of that, especially because it is mentioned, as is in the former chapter, that the power of water Locurus uses is kinda tainted and has to be purified to be worthy of Oceanus again. Could that mean that Oceanus is kinda corrupted as well, tainted, and just has to be purified? By maybe, I don't know, the elements of harmony? But what if, well, I formally stated that I think Oceanus's power is the power of Abyss, but it is stated in this and the former chapter that the power of Abyss is actually corrupting the power of water, which is originally Oceanus's power. Meaning that, well, I don't know. As I said, maybe he is corrupted as well. But what is the Abyss if it is not the power of water? Where did it come from if it is not has not been created by Oceanus? What I found really interesting here at the end was that the Sons actually, well, they seem really to work with the elements of harmony, and I think that's a pretty interesting development. But seriously, did we expect anything else? I mean, Black Rose needed them for her plans, and if her sons just wanted to kill them, they could have done so much sooner. Very interesting was the part about Pinkie Pie restoring Smart Cookie. That was wow. She has actually restored her, and I think had she not ripped herself or injured herself to let in the power of Abyss again, then she might have been alive again, and that would have been cool. So I'm pretty intrigued here by the power of ley energy, because that is something not even Twilight's magic, or I don't think even Princess Celestia, Princess Luna, and Prince Tirado could do if they combined their powers. So, ley energy seems to be a special kind of magic. It seems to be able to, as we saw in another chapter with the Cold Steel Construct, it seems to be able to cause damage, and in the chapter with Ridden Tem Maleorum, to bind an enemy, but it also seems to have restorative abilities, like the healing magic that Twilight is using or that Princess Luna is using. But to restore a corpse to a living pony, holy shit. Sorry, I can't say it another way, but holy shit, that's some serious magic. But no, it's not magic, it's channeling ley energy, as I think Coppermane was his name, insisted. And then here at the end, that they state that Prince Tirado is like a volcano, I can seriously see that happen. Because we all know his temper, and yeah, Lioncourt does have a point. A volcano does not distinguish between friend and foe. A volcano just destroys everything, and I seriously don't want to see the Elements of Harmony having to subdue Prince Tirado, because that wouldn't end well, especially not in their current state. And then here at the end, when Octavia asks Longstride what he's seeing, and he doesn't give her an answer, I think that Black Rose is either dead or heavily injured when they come there, because, well, when Prince Tirado is angry, I mean, he has killed her before, but she just didn't stay dead. Okay, sincerely yours, Visual Pony, and I'm really looking forward to your opinions on this.